Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
We are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, Married at First Sight, Season 18, Episode 13 Recap. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
You all right over there?
I am. I had to, while that little thing was running, I can't hear up the right side. And then I touched something and like everything kind of went down. So I had a quick scramble, but I'm good.
Okay, I'm just checking because it sounded like you might need a lasagna hose
over there. Nope. All good.
Yeah, we are those guys.
Yeah, that is Wolfman Jack.
Oh my God. All right. Well, we got a lot to get to in this week's episode, man. Let's get to it. Because we're what? 13 episodes in, lucky number 13. We're inching closer to what they've teased all year long. And by year, like I mean year. The length of the season.
Yeah, it does feel like a year.
It really does feel like it, right? So there we go. But look, let's start off with MM and Ikichi. Or Ike.
Ike.
Oh, itchy, itchy, yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. You knew this wasn't going good when he walks in and says, did you get taller? Is that how you start a date?
Well, is this what you do? Take a date to the ice cream place?
Yeah, when you're 12.
This is the first place we've seen him take her out to.
Yeah.
And it's to go get ice cream. I was like, wow, that's basic. But, yeah, looking at how he lives, you know, you got to do what you can afford. I get it.
Yeah. No, it's what it is, man. Here's the thing I noticed. MM says that Ike wanted to take a step back and that they'll be dating. And we realize that Ike is a terrible dater, right?
Yeah.
No conversation, no eye contact, no nothing.
Yep. It was really boring. And then he's just trying to ask some random questions. What brings you joy?
Going and I like how
she said, this ice cream.
It was terrible, man. It was terrible. And then, like Nubian Mahogany says, he breaks out the cards on the date.
Yeah. And I was like, are they going to play spades? You know, what are they going to do with these?
Two-man spades.
Two-man spades.
So here's where it gets interesting, though, because he says that he's going to Houston for homecoming. And, you know, he's looking forward to see people and see his mom. And MM's like, I'd like to see your mom. And he was just like, huh, okay, so, wow, what other flavor ice creams do they have?
Well, I mean, I can see maybe while I'm there, if you're free, I can FaceTime you. But that definitely wasn't a, do you want to come with?
Oh, yeah.
I can FaceTime you while I'm there. Sure, we could do that.
Somebody else says, why won't they both just throw in the towel already? This marriage has flatlined. If everybody did that, there would be one couple left on the show. So there's a reason why it's called the fine print. And apparently they've read it.
Mm-hmm.
Because Mimi's like, hey, she all but said, can I go? Exactly. That is literally what she said. Can I go?
Yeah. Yeah, and then she notices he doesn't have his ring on.
Yeah. But so here's the thing. He's like, oh, I was washing dishes, and I forgot to put it back on. If I walk out the house and I don't have this on, my wife doesn't have to say anything, because I just do like that. And wait, I'm missing my ring. It feels bad to not have it. But that's because I want mine on. Apparently,
good job. Good job. I see what you're doing there, player. Good job.
What? I don't know what you're talking about, brother.
I get it. She watches the show. Good job. I like how you did that.
Well, she knows. She knows. Hey, where your ring at? Oh.
It just don't feel right without this on. Wink, wink.
Not everybody's you, Terrell. Leah says, I have a theory that he's a colorist. You think that's the case?
No. I don't think so.
You in the very beginning said, well, he said that he wants a black woman. He also said he wanted to get married, and apparently he didn't.
Yeah, I don't think it's a skin color thing. I don't think that.
No, I don't think so either. But, you know, he's just not attracted to her. And that's where everybody's just kind of like, all this stuff, hey, Sly says, why, MM? Girl, stop pursuing. She really is. But, you know, she's dedicated to the process, and that's what it is. We do get the girls get together, right? And the guys get together. Women get together for mimosas and... is that a xylophone shop? No, I'm kidding. And then the guys get together.
Sound bath. Boxing.
Yeah, sure, exactly. A xylophone store. I got you.
Yeah, it's a sound bath, which I mean, I'm okay with some new age stuff and whatever, but just the sound bath concept, I just find that to be BS, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, the guys go boxing, and Ike doesn't even show up, and no one has heard from him. Apparently, because he was one. Went to homecoming, and I don't know if you know, but there's a rule when you come to Houston. You never leave Houston on a Sunday. So, depending on what day they were shooting this, there's a reason why he was missing.
No, he didn't want to be there.
Yeah, well, yeah, then there's that.
He doesn't want to talk about his relationship. His ex-relationship, we should call it.
It's funny because with women, MM finally admits that Ike doesn't want the marriage. Mm-hmm. And now he wants to date. And she goes, you know, the funny thing is that the irony of it is that if we were really dating, he would never get a second date. Which I think, and I think we can make fun of it, but it explains why she's so much into this, my husband, because it's the wedding part, the husband part, the marriage part, which is the fact that she is saying, this is why she's putting in all that time and putting in all that work and that effort.
I can't agree with that, though, because it's on her at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he has shown you exactly who he is.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to say, put in all this work and this? Like, you just let it go and just realize, hey, just go through the motions. Mm-hmm. Enjoy the free food and the meals you're going to get for the next couple weeks and be on your way. But you just got to let it go at this point.
Globe Hopper says it seems like the guys don't like Ike either. And I noticed only David has ever been on him on a after party.
I don't think they do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, would you after that anniversary dinner, the way he acted at that point? No, he's just like, no. So, TSU is in Houston. Pink Butterfly.
Yeah. It's in Houston.
Yeah. So also at this, get together, their topic of these two came up, Michelle and David. Because Michelle tells the women about the text. And Madison is like, funny thing, I got a similar text.
Hey, Pink Butterfly is Texas Southern. Texas Southern University. It's not Tennessee State.
Yeah, wrong TSU.
So here's what's really interesting. Mm-hmm. Is I'm looking at Madison's body language when Michelle tells the story, because Madison has to know what the deal is, right?
You think? She got the text.
And she's the way she said it, just like, what? Oh my goodness. You know, and the whole thing seemed messy. And then when Michelle says that, wait a minute, well, he was with you all, right? He's with Madison, Alan, and Carla. I was like, oh, interesting.
Does that add an extra wrinkle that Carla was there or no?
Yes, because I think Carla knows.
Yep,
Carla's crazy, but she's the one you could trust with your stuff.
That's the same thing Tay Delilah says. Carla knows what's up. Yeah, because the way I thought, but then again, Carla has just had the spaced out look the whole time, right?
Yeah.
So I saw Carla's face and I want to read that. But I don't know, but now that you say it, it sounds right.
Yeah, I think Carla knows, because remember after one, she goes, the truth always comes out.
Lucy B says, Carla definitely knows. Materialistic says, Carla's third eye is always open. And Miss Benz 362 says, Madison can't look Michelle in the eyes. Guilty. To be fair, I wouldn't want to look Michelle in the eyes either.
Well, But
and I'm not sleeping with David.
Yeah. But even Madison's giving her advice, like trying to get to the bottom of it. Well, you should go talk to him and just tell him it's okay to tell you the truth. That's messy. Like if this is all true, that Madison is the one.
Mm-hmm.
Madison is a gangster. Now I understand why a lot of women say they don't like having a lot of female friends, because you can't trust them.
Is that why Shante's over here saying Madison is a snake? Yanni Jones says Carla's very intuitive. Trust the crazies. Funny.
Yeah.
You said it because I can't. Well, look, after this whole get together, we get the last of Emin and Ike, right? Let's just deal with them now because they had Dr. Pia call. Well, okay. I'm sorry. MM had a call with Dr. Pia.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know if you got anything out of this, because the only thing I got out of it was wondering why the heck was Dr. Pia disappointed or even surprised to hear that they chose not to move in together and that Ike has checked out.
Yeah. And then Dr. Pia says, well, have you tried reaching out to him since he hasn't tried to reach out to you? Why would she?
Yeah.
Why should she do that? Like, Dr. Pia, like, read the room. Why does she have to keep being the one to reach out to him?
Yeah, it's crazy. I thought it was nuts when she suggested they go back in, right? And again, it's not just Dr. Pia has been our strongest expert over the last couple seasons. This has not been a good season for her because we're all thinking the same thing. Like, Dr. Pia, come on now, stop it. But when we get to Pastor Cal a little later on, we got some smoke for him too.
Yeah.
At least I do. I don't know about you, but I do. I definitely do. Do us a favor as we move through this. Appreciate you guys in here. Hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications so you can find out what and when we are up next. Because, matter of fact, special random conversations Monday, 8, 7 Central, next Monday. And we'll tell you more about that a little later. All right. But first, you got to get to the freaky couple. Would you consider them that? Because it seems kind of awkward. Okay, the awkwardly freaky couple. Is that better?
I would say the only couple that's probably going to make it. Let's
But they're the only couple on the show right now.
True.
The rest of them are just roommates, okay? Camille and Thomas. Camille, here's an interesting thing. When they first came on the screen, Camille says that Thomas is one of the most genuinely nice people that she's ever met. But that also translates to the bedroom, which tells you what, Terrell?
That he is more of a romantic. He's not going to put that thug love on her like she used to.
Or, as she would say, boring.
If the end result's the same, I don't see how it's boring. Sorry.
It's interesting because she'll insult him right there. But again, he did say he likes that raw honesty, right? And even when they're sitting down with Dr. Pia, she says that she leads most of the time. And Tom's like, yeah, and I like it. And you want to talk about not being able to read the room? Listen to the way she's saying it.
Yeah.
Or am I wrong here?
No, I think maybe they got to communicate because, you know, as I was watching this, I'm thinking to myself, I don't like to be the one that always has to lead and initiate. Mm-hmm. But man, it'd be great to have somebody be like, hey, you come here for a second and just take total control. Mm-hmm. That would be awesome, too. So I like that's how I interpreted that conversation, that she's just naturally she takes control of things. That's what she's been used to. Mm-hmm. And Thomas lets her do it. I didn't catch that she was trying to hint. I want you to take control. I think she wants him to kick it up a notch in certain areas.
Yeah.
But I think she likes being in control.
She does like the control, but it doesn't mean that she doesn't want him to take. Remember, do not forget that kayaking conversation. She likes a man to take control. She told him that on the honeymoon, out on the water. And that's why he reached it and got his first kiss post-wedding, right? And there's that. And as awkward as it looked, it was still in that sense. So there's that part. She did say that she likes the freaky stuff, even though some of that freaky stuff doesn't involve a lot of things, because she leads, except in one thing.
Yeah, that's she likes Thomas to receive. She likes to receive the freaky stuff, but she's not giving the freaky stuff, which, to me, I'll understand why Thomas hadn't said, hey, at some point, I'm going to need you to speak in the mic. I'm sorry. I can't be married to you all this time, and you're not doing that. Testing. I need you to, it's my birthday, something. Some point, I'm going to need you to do that.
Okay. We will not encourage that, okay? You don't encourage the only on your birthday crap. That is the word. You might as well not ever do it than only do it on the birthday.
Well, that's my thought, too, because I would rather someone not do it.
Yeah.
And say, hey, I'm not going to return the favor, so you don't have to go do that. Okay, great. Now we know we're on the same playing field. Mm-hmm. Thomas enjoys it, and he's thinking, and she enjoys receiving it, but the fact that she won't, and her reason for not doing it.
The reason was garbage.
Was trash. Mm-hmm. That was trash. She feels that, I even had to write it down because I take 6 pages of notes. She says she hasn't because she feels like that symbolizes a deeper connection than her just opening up, literally.
Okay. Here's a problem with this, right? Because if you receive, shouldn't you give?
Yes.
I believe if you open up the good book, it says, let others do unto you only if you will do unto them. Or did I read that wrong?
No, you read that. You read that. Yeah. But you got to get the new, not the new King James Version, the new version. And yeah, that says, put it in your mouth.
From the Book of Akinelli. I am not understanding what's going on there, man. But they get to this bondage thing, because again, she's always talking about what she likes, and likes the freaky stuff, likes to be whipped, likes to be spanked. She stuffed an avocado in his mouth when they started this bondage. I'm like, he's like, what is this? And instead of being the man that he should be and spit that shit out.
Why?
You better be glad it's not the sack of one of her toys.
Then he started to really sound like Beaker.
I don't understand. But by the way, Materialistic says, I'm no kink shaver, but I can't wrap my head around getting arousal out of being whipped. Then again, I'm blackety black. Quite a few freaky black people out there now who.
This is a nice way to do it. They're calling you black while they're doing it. It's not going to feel good.
Now, that's true.
Yeah.
Especially, they're not.
Especially him.
She likes the tweet, says, when Thomas was looking at Honey off, I was like, okay, Beaker. Y'all are so wrong, man. Damn, well, that man was putting in work. I mean, it looked awkward as hell. Don't get me wrong. It looked awkward as hell. It looked even worse when she jumped on his back and damn near killed him. But he's like, oh. Whew. Whew. Give me a second.
Yeah. Hold on. Whoa, big fella. Hold on. Hold on. Come on now, thickness. Get, I can't breathe. I can't breathe.
Keita, you so wrong. Talk about, I thought he was dead.
Well, watching Thomas tie her up. Mm. The way he was doing it is like that he's done it before, but not in a romantic way.
He's done it while watching Yellowstone. That's the problem.
Yes. He was rodeo. He was hog tying.
Like, what was that?
You see that buckle? That's from an ex. That buckle, that relationship I was in for 10 years, that's her.
The only good thing he did in that was he goes, huh, if we had some bedposts, I'd have tied your legs apart like this. And she's like, yes, so you could, well, okay, never mind.
So you can clean it up. Because, you know, I ain't doing it.
By the way, JD says, who does not like a little dirty talk? Depends on the dirty talk, though.
There's, I'm not a big fan. Sly A, add that to the list. Number 63, you know.
Oh yeah, because it
doesn't really do anything for me.
62 is already up there. Sound Baths is 62.
Yeah, so go ahead, do another 63. I guess I'm not a fan of dirty talk. Just doesn't.
Yeah, we'll get to that a little bit because that comes up again. And by the way, Sly, I just wanted to let you know I'm on it.
Of course, I know she's on it.
CXM says, I'm not a fan of dirty talk either. Yeah, it's kind of wild. We'll get to that too. We'll get to that in a little bit because that came up with another couple. And Miss B says, now this is taking it a little serious here, right? So the scene was so inappropriate. Camille knows their families are watching this and their employers. It's still tamer and calmer than when they were in San Diego. Remember that season? With the swing?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But I mean,
maybe she didn't work for herself, though.
Is your employer going to fire you because you, like, do some freaky stuff?
Depends.
Come on. Come on.
Depends.
I think if they worked in that type of environment, they wouldn't be on the show.
Well, then there's that.
Yeah, you know, they're not like the publicists for the Obamas or something.
To be fair, it's like you can't have a road rage incident wearing your company logo, right? So, but also she's not showing her company logo on there. So there's that, right?
Yeah, true.
Right. By the way, Miss Brown Sugar says, look, they're married and they're grown.
Exactly. It's a man and wife having some fun.
Nubian Mahogany does say, though, your employer doesn't want to know about it.
Some people at work do.
Yeah, they do.
There's always that one or two people at work just, I wonder.
I knew it. I knew she was a freak.
I knew it. I knew it. I could sense it.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's go to another loveless couple over here real quick. Carla and Juan, they get a visit from Dr. Pia, and it's interesting because Dr. Pia comes up, and you know, when she shows up, there's going to be some sex talk. So this is about to be very awkward, isn't it?
Of course. You know, that's what Dr. Pia's role is. It's going to be good. And it's really interesting. I think, I don't know about you, I learned stuff from Dr. Pia when she talks. So it's really interesting to hear her. Juan seemed like he was really excited. He said he was intimidated last time. So he's trying to cut up some cantaloupe and have some mimosas and stuff ready for Dr. Pia. All while Carla sits and... No, all while Carla sits and watches, because Carla's not going to help. That's not her gift. The universe doesn't tell her to help Juan in the house. She just watches.
No, her gift is to burn the house down with that sage. She tried to do later in the episode. Did you get anything from Dr. Pierre's visit, though, with these two?
Well, Dr. P was asking if, you know, meeting Carla's parents and all that, did that help anything in the relationship? And Juan said, we're still working towards that. And then Dr. Pia asked Carla about these pictures on their social media because she has pictures of her. And I think it's the guys from the housewarming, but they're a little provocative. And so Dr. Pia was wondering. And then Juan kind of squashed it saying, hey, look, these are friends. I would get no same poses with those guys if I was there. It's no big deal. But Dr. P is like, well, I'm noticing that, you know, you're humping these guys in these pictures. What's it going to take to get you two to hump on each other? I was like, get them. Get
and to the Juan point. Said, hey, 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 hold up there, sister.
I'm a Christian. No. But Carla says that, you know, she likes to touch Juan and she's there. But Carla goes, maybe he's not. Really calling out Juan.
Yeah.
She's down. But Juan doesn't want to touch her.
She's been down since the wedding night. She said that. Hey, well, you can sleep naked right next to me. Let's get it. And he wouldn't.
No, he wouldn't. Still won't. For whatever reason.
No, he's definitely not. So Globehopper says Juan acts like a 13-year-old.
Scared, nervous, virgin.
Kelly asks a great question. Since when do people drink during a therapy session? When you're on Married at First Sight, the camera's rolling and it's reality TV and they need some spice.
They need some spice. Could pour a little something in that.
We'll pretend it's wine. Go ahead, put the real stuff in there. By the way, Celery08 says Carla is down and bitter about Juan not falling for her charms. Yes.
I guess she doesn't understand how he couldn't. Mm-hmm. Everyone else, you know, likes her.
Yeah. Ms. Brown Sugar says she's been down. Yeah, it's really obvious there, right? So here's the other thing, though. They talk about this tantric yoga because this is what Dr. Pia has assigned for them to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Juan decides to break out the phone. But what does this mean? What does this actually mean? Let's Google it. All right. Oh, no. She's looking at words. He's like, yeah, don't talk to me. Let me see that phone. Let's see some pictures. Then he picks out the most... platonic position she can find. Here, I hold your hand. You stretch all the way over there. I'm going to stay over here. Let's do that. Yeah. And he's like, oh, I can away. Do this.
Let's lean away from each other. Ooh, that's a good pose. I like this one.
Even with their backs together, she probably just put her hand on his neck. He's like, no, don't touch me. Put your hands on yourself. He's like, if it's like this, I can do this. He's still afraid to touch Carla.
I don't think he's afraid. He just doesn't want to. He has no interest in her.
Now, here's the interesting part, because Jasmine says that tantric teacher scarred me for life. Absolutely so, because that's what we see next from these two is the instructor coming in, and she was ready. What'd you think of this tantric yoga session?
Yo, so when the instructor came in, I'm thinking she's just going to be coaching them through it. Mm-hmm. She came ready to participate. Mm-hmm. This was, to me, looked like the beginning of a menage. That she was going to get involved and it
this
was going to be
my favorite part of it. That's yeah. What she said. I can't wait.
Yeah, she like Mr. Miyagi, just ready to warm up her hands. And she's sitting there and I'm looking at what she's wearing, wondering why you're dressed like that. That should be Carla dressed that way. And you're coaching her through what to do. She was ready to get in the mix.
Of course, Marcus. Because yo, she was ready. Jasmine said she wanted threesome for real with her lingerie on. She was ready to go. Mm-hmm. Like Sinan's fan says, tantric teacher was down for the poly.
Oh yeah, she's a hands-on instructor.
Apparently, because here's the thing about it. I looked at it like Jay Seso says. She said she was going to make sure it was going down because when she's like, all right, call her. Blow on him as we, and here, let me show you how. I was like, wait a minute.
What's that blowing? I was sitting there thinking, like, God, I bet somebody smells like chips. Just for some reason, I feel like somebody's breath's gonna smell like chips. But I would feel that was just originals. Weird. Yeah. Was that a butterscotch that you had before you came into the.
Oh my God. Yo, Michael, it's funny they talk about she was ready to take it off. That was an interesting scene. Very interesting scene. I do think that Juan decided to go, okay, the camera's still here. I need to pick this up because as the tantric instructor left, he's like, hey, well, now you be the receiver. And Carla's like, okay, are we really about to get somewhere?
No. Juan was just having fun because I like how trying to make the noise with the breathing. And he just couldn't stop laughing. He'd be like, ooh. That's when he was like a 13-year-old. And Carla was so annoyed. I loved every bit of that.
Of course you do, because you can't stand Carla. That's why.
Yeah, I loved every bit of that. He's like, you think you're going to get some? No, you're not going to get some.
By the way, I want to point out, and I'm glad, Sly, I'm glad you caught this. Because if I did, Tara would have nothing but bad words for me in this to say I'm just looking too hard or whatever. It says, Juancho has dirty feet. Walking around barefoot in the house, that's what you get.
In that house. I walk around barefoot in my house, I don't get that.
Oh, my God. This was nuts, man. Absolutely no love gained in this one. It's supposed to be a sexy episode for them. It was not. Appreciate everybody that's in the live chat right now, too, man. Do us a favor. If you haven't already, please hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications. As we move on to our next couple, this one right here. Madison and Alan. As they're getting ready for Dr. Pia's visit, Alan, is it me or is Alan just a little nervous about this first as well, too?
I don't think so. He looked like Alan to me. I didn't get any sense of him being really nervous for Dr. Pia's visit.
So, Luffy, of course, over the top, the way she always is going to be. But I thought, really and truly, Madison started off just BSing at the top of this, talking about, well, you know, I like the game you gave us last time. You know, it was able to nudge us into talking about sex. It didn't. And again, I still blame Allen for this because they played and he played on one side of the mat and let her play on the other instead of reaching for stuff around her where he could touch her. And he didn't.
So you've played before is what I'm hearing.
Never. You probably got time to be playing with dots.
let's just get to the point.
Nobody got time for that. It's like playing a drinking game. No, let's just drink.
Well, what I thought was interesting is Dr. Pia asked about trust and intimacy. Mm-hmm. And Alan says he fully trusts Madison, mm-hmm. which I'm thinking to myself, should you? Mm-hmm. Should you really? But Madison, not so much, because she brings up when Alan's been drinking and how it bothers her the way he gets and all that stuff. But at the beginning of this, I felt like Alan, and I'm going to feel this way as I keep talking about him, he's a little spicy this episode.
He was. He was. But, you know, here's the thing. It's like Globehopper says, I sort of like Madison. She's determined to find any way she can to put Alan in the wrong, right? And I think it's not just putting him in the wrong. It's also putting him down. Because as Madison brought up the alcohol, it was all about another reason why she's not attracted to him. Now, Alan has noticed it. Because remember that time when he was like, it's always something about me that she wants me to change. Sounds something I heard that from somebody before. Always something about me that she wants me to change. I haven't asked her to change one damn thing. Mm-hmm. Do you even like me for anything, right? And here she is saying another thing as to why she's not attracted, and that's why you got the spice that you noticed.
Yep.
Because that was a switch for him. It would have switched. It would have been me too. Like, seriously? All right, let's go.
Yeah. You keep bringing up my stuff all the time. I've not said, Adeline hasn't said anything about her, anything she needs to improve on or whatever. But, and she's also the one that likes to take shots all the time. So she's got to give him hell for drinking. So that's annoying.
Yeah.
But Dr. Pia gives him another card game called Just the Tip.
Just the Tip. Notice that, was there any alcohol when they were playing this game?
Yes.
Okay, because here's the thing. Happy Garden has a great point here. I don't like the way she drink shames him while she has a drink. And she's the party girl with the party shots, always wanting that. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah.
It's a great point here. So they're playing Just the Tip, and they get to dirty talk. And Alan says it's ridiculous. And I guess that's me, you, and Alan all in the same boat. Like, it's ridiculous. Like,
I'm not saying it's ridiculous. I just said I don't really like it. I'm not saying it's ridiculous.
Well, I'm with Alan. It's ridiculous. I can't call you all those names and then kiss cuddle, you after.
Then cuddle afterwards.
Because I mean it when I say it, damn it. You dirty. Well,
what kind of dirty are you doing? Maybe it's not a degrading dirty talk, Yanni. Maybe it's just some kinky stuff. Do that,
but I actually had somebody say, I like when people say this to me. Like, yeah, that will never be me.
Because I couldn't be disrespectful or anything
like that. Exactly. If I say
look
it,
at somebody
I mean,
and be like, look me in the eyes when you do it. You can talk to them.
That's a little different.
Look at me. Look at me. Number 64.
Hey, Miss Brown Sugar says you're doing it wrong. No. I'm not doing it wrong. We're doing it the right way. Me and my wife exchange loving words to each other. we exchange loving words, damn it. Ain't nobody got time to be starting a fight. let's not act like women won't pick the fight with you after you did exactly what you told them, they told you to do. I know not to fall into that trap, damn it. So some of the other questions that came up. What parts of foreplay don't work for Madison with Alan? It's any of them. What do you prefer to do after sex? Alan likes the shower.
He likes to jump in the shower. I'm like, why? Don't you like just bask in the glow of it? Why do you feel like you're unclean? Are you a sinner? Why do you got to go jump in the shower? I would think that's weird. If you get done having sex with me and first thing you got to do is go get in the shower.
Oh, dirty. You see, it's all those all those words you said in there. I feel dirty. I got to go cleanse myself. All those dirty mothers you call me. I got to go cleanse.
They were the loofah unclean. unclean.
So what? So if Madison asks you, what do you prefer to do after sex? What are you going to say? Lay here while you go get me a hot rag? I mean, is that what you're going to say?
Keyword, hot rag. Don't come here with no cold cloth. Trying to rinse it off with some cold water? Mm-mm. Don't do that. Number 65. No cold water. So I write my own list.
Look, Jay Say-So says, got to get the sticky off, Terrell. And Celery 08 says, jumping in the shower was weird. Really?
Yes.
What? Okay. I guess.
I think it's weird.
Well, just go to sleep. How about that? What'd you like to do after sex? Go to sleep. By the way, number 63, cold washcloths. I think that's actually 65, Sly. You've been slipping.
Yeah, you got to double check your list. You need to audit.
And Happy Gardener says, yes for the warm towel. You know, what will you do? Take turns? You get it this time, I get it next time?
you get the lukewarm. Well, it depends on where things fall. Determines who gets the cloth.
CXM says, take a shower, then go to sleep. And Chocolate Suna is right there on Alan's side. Why he needs to go take a bath is because I think Alan puts in work. It's sexercise. He's got a lot of built-up frustration. That's all he's thinking about. Now, you know, interesting is because Tracy says, goes the other route and says, you know, okay, what he was really wrong about was what happened next. Because he made this whole, he couldn't find his words. Or he knew exactly what the hell he was doing, as you were saying earlier, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
What exactly did he say to Madison that got her so all up in her feelings, crying when the producer asked what she was talking about? How she was feeling?
Yeah, I agree. He ruined it. So Madison says after the game that there could be some sexual compatibility there. She tells him that there could be some sexual compatibility. So at that point, you should think to yourself, how do I keep this conversation going? Instead, Alan goes, you know, when we first met, I thought you were someone that was more superficial and transactional when it came to sex. He said he got a club party girl vibe from her at the reception. And my note, why, Alan? Why would you say that? You ruined it.
Okay. Was it the transactional part?
Nobody wants to be told you look like the type that's very transactional when it comes to sex.
He did say he didn't. Thank you, Mimi. He said he didn't know what word to use.
You shut the hell up and you try to go back to the how do we get close to the compatibility and the kissing and all the things. We just had some good questions. Go to that. You don't say anything.
Celery 08 says he thinks twerking is hoish.
Don't think so.
Well,
Sir Mix-a-Lot. He's Mr. Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Well, we also didn't see her twerking because maybe she did not know how to do it right. And let's be honest. If your girl just starts twerking in the wedding dress, you're going to be cool with that?
If I just met her?
Yes.
As a married at first sight?
Yes.
I had no choice but be cool with that.
Or would you think she was transactional?
We're on a reality show. We're both being transactional about a lot of things. So,
I'm
very different.
I'm trying to look up for Alan here. Come on, man.
No. I think Alan, this is where I feel like Alan had some spice to him because he was kind of done. Mm-hmm. And so he said, you know what? I'm going to blow this thing up because right now he should be thinking about closing business. Mm-hmm. And he's not. He's gonna ruin the moment by telling somebody,
what
you know,
moment?
I appreciate your sexual compatibility comment, but let me add this. When I first met you, you looked a little transactional.
He was sexually. Trying to pay her a compliment and tell her that what he first thought of her. Okay, never mind.
Please, I was waiting. I'm like, oh, tell me more about this.
Oh yeah. No, there was no way he should have said that. But unless he was trying to blow it up, because he's like, again, you're not attracted to me. Let me see how you feel about this. Because let me tell you how I was attracted to you when I first met you. Yes, physically, but I was like, I ain't taking it home to mama. So he leaves, right? Goes out for a quick second to walk the dog. Producer asks Madison what she was thinking, and she gets emotional. Did that make sense to you?
That she got emotional?
Yeah.
I mean, anybody can get emotional. She just got called a low-key hooker.
Well, that's...
on TV.
You said that, but Kitty says a high-class hooker.
High-class or low-class, whatever the adjective you have in front of it, the noun is still hooker.
Sedan's fan says she's transactional. Just ask David. It's funny because... the same word you use is what she used the next morning when we see her. But before that, she's back in. Madison tells Alan she needs some time to get over. She's got to go make a phone call, right?
Yeah, she was calling Mr. Hit That. That's what she was calling. Hey, big head, you up? I'm mad. I'm stressed.
Yes, I am up and alone because you know that other girl ain't here. That's what happened.
Yeah. I'm gonna come over with you and I'm gonna bring two loads of laundry. We can knock out two birds with one stone.
And you can eat this up. You can finish that text in person. So she leaves, and Alan did this purposely because there's no way that the first night they're back from the honeymoon, she's gone all night. Mm-hmm. He thinks she's coming back that night. And here's the part, because even when they had a discussion the next day, he's like, well, I waited. I was worried. I was this. If you were that damn worried, you'd have picked up the phone and called. You weren't worried. You knew she was somewhere else.
Yeah.
You knew she was okay. You knew nobody kidnapped her. She'd have whooped their ass.
Yeah.
You knew that.
Yeah. He knows that Alan is smart. I don't think that he's naive to not know there's something up. And I just think he's just saying, you know what? I'm going to blow this whole thing up.
Yeah.
I've been getting played. I've been made a fool of. I'm going to try to make her look bad, which she should in what she's doing. And the fact that David's been smiling up in his face, being cool with him all this time.
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine being cool with a dude, dapping him up, knowing that you're hooking up with his girl?
So.
I mean, not being in college. Talking about as responsible men, I couldn't imagine doing that, but like in college.
So the next morning. My circle is small. I don't have a lot of friends. I don't have to worry about stuff like that. When I was single, I didn't have to worry about stuff like that. I got a small circle.
You all know
in that circle. Madison says this exact same thing you said, that Alan called her a hooker. And I didn't realize that that's what he called her, because maybe I missed it. Did I?
You look transactional when it comes to sex. Mm-hmm. What other way would you put that? Think she looks like a policeman, policewoman? Does she look like a nurse? Does she look like a lawyer?
A masseuse?
No. No. Transactional.
Hey, life is transactional. Okay, you've been going, man.
Okay.
Next time we see them, Alan joins Madison in the gym, obviously just for a conversation, because you know he's not going to work out, right? And he calls out Madison because he says, look, whenever it feels like I'm being judged, it's, hey, get over it quickly. But here it is, and you're holding on to this one comment. You're holding on to this one thing so hard. And I like the fact that he called her out on this, because all the stuff she's called him out on.
Yep.
He's just supposed to take. You got this relationship messed up.
Well, she said that she's not mad at him for what he said.
Yeah.
So she's not totally holding everything that he said against her. Mm-hmm. Maybe the way that he's holding what she said, you know, against him. But he's right in talking about how he feels about that. But I loved how he just figured, you know what? This is not going anywhere. Let's go back to you not coming home till 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Let's get into that. Mm-hmm. Because that, to me, is where the real conversation is.
You know, interesting, because in that conversation, he talked about the dream he had and how he got, again, I think it wasn't until you said it earlier that you think he was very, very specific in what he was saying. And that whole dream, he made that up.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely made that up. But when he's like, oh, yeah, I dreamt that, you know, we started this process over and they made me watch you with marry somebody else and this and that. And the only thing he didn't go was, and you married that person in the gym, and he had a fake man bun to the side. That's the only thing he didn't do. Because like Lucy B says, saying you dropped something is a low-key way of telling your mate you don't trust them. Because, and you know, coming from a woman, you got to take that. Because remember, women will wake up and go, what'd you do? I don't know. It was in your dream, woman. You tell me. Dream was crazy, but
yeah, let me have a dream about somebody I'm dating. You're in my dream. What was I doing? Cock blocking.
Jay Seso said that you know, Alan was up because he felt his wife getting smashed. Like, damn, that's when you say it like that. That just sounds bad. That sounded harsh to say out loud. Damn. Maybe he did have that dream after all. I'm just saying. Jesus, that just felt bad just to say. So when Alan says she was out and never called, we find out that Madison is really a ninja. Because she's like, I came back.
But I came home, didn't I? No, that's a dude. That's not just ninja. That's a dude. But I came home. Yeah, it was 4 o'clock in the morning, but I'm here.
Yeah.
So be thankful.
Yeah.
Oh, go make me something to eat. I'm hungry. Long night.
They get back to the apartment, and then Madison goes through some BS explanation, gets her way back in the conversation, and in the good graces of Alan, after Alan bears his soul. And I felt bad for him in that moment. But then he had a moment there. I know you said the moment was after just the tip game, but that was the moment right there when they hugged and they're this close that he had. That was his going for the kiss, brother. It's not going to lead anywhere, but going for the kiss, brother. This is your time to do it.
No.
Unless she had that gym breath and he's just like, nah, I'm good.
She had David breath. No, I don't think this was the time for him to try to go in and kiss her at that moment. Mm-hmm. You don't have your first real kiss because they kiss at the wedding. That was, 6 weeks ago? She's not touched the man since. You don't go in for a kiss after this type of fight, especially after you called somebody a prostitute. And then
he didn't
dialed
call her
back.
A prostitute or he a did. Hooker.
He did.
No,
he didn't. Okay, she's not a prostitute. It's just she has transactional sex.
Okay, transactional activities, like CXM says, coming home at 3 a.m., that's transactional activities.
Well, it depends what she got in return.
She got paid.
Besides ponytail bobbing up in her face.
Oh, on the back of her neck. Okay, stop. I'm sorry. All right. Let's move on. I can't win this. Hey, do us a favor, man. Hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications. As we get to our last couple. Oh, my God. You remember when you were a kid and you were asked a question by your mom?
Mm-hmm.
You gave an answer. She knew it was a lie.
Mm-hmm.
So she asked that question over and over and over and over and over. And that's what it felt like watching Michelle and David.
David's lie was so stupid. You know what it reminded me of? I was in elementary school and my mom hid the nylon-laters up at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to climb on the cabinet, sneak and get a green nylon-later, come down and eat it. 10 minutes later, my mom comes, did you go get a piece of candy? No, I didn't. Stick your tongue out. Tongue green. And I still tried to lie. I was like, no, I didn't. That's what David did. You're caught.
That's exactly what he did. Well, see, at least yours was short-lived. I remember standing there, and my mom is sitting at the dining room table. I'm just standing in between the kitchen and the dining room table, and she's just asking the same question over and over and over. I swear, it felt like about 30 minutes. It may have only been like 5, but it was a long time. And you know, it's bad when you start to feel the sweat down. You just, until finally you're just like, okay, yeah, I did it. Jeez. David has none of that. So we start off with Michelle meeting with Pastor Cal. She tells him about the text message and then says her parents got divorced because of infidelity. And so that's a trigger for her.
I'm not saying that infidelity is not a trigger for her. What I'm
it's
saying
a trigger
is
for anybody.
David's infidelity is not a trigger for her.
Okay, good point. Yeah. Because
you don't care.
Exactly.
You're looking for a reason because you could easily say, you know what? I'm out of this because he cheated. I tried to give it my all and I was in it. She can say it's not her fault. Mm-hmm. But David's infidelity is not a trigger on her.
Mm-hmm. At all. It's not. David shows up. You can tell his body language. He is done. Right?
Yeah.
The way he is sitting next to her, he just kind of, what's up? All right. And then Michelle decides to tell him that infidelity is a trigger. And mm-hmm. David is like, yeah, so, and what? No, actually, he says it's the first time he's hearing it. And, you know, he'll be more mindful of it next time he sends a text to Madison.
I'll try not to get caught. You know, like they do in the NFL. I hear you. My bad. Going forward, I'll try not to get caught.
Oh, my God. JD says, David, liar, liar, lips on fire. That's not all. So David says, look, I'm an open book. And Michelle's like, well, if he's willing to let me know this thing, and this is the part I didn't understand. He's willing to tell me this. And this is what, when it comes down to talking about the fact that he's been out with other women and been on, you know, went to go get coffee, right? And that he texts other women. Mm-hmm. If he's willing to tell me this, then what else is he not telling me? What else does he not want me to know? And I'm like, that right there is exactly why men can never win. Because if he said no and she knows he's lying, she's not going to leave it alone. And when he says, okay, here's the truth, what does she do? Well, what else are you not telling me if you're willing to tell me the truth about this?
Yeah, I guess so. So what's the best advice you give men? Don't lie,
mm-hmm.
or always tell the truth, even if it hurts.
Either way, he told the truth when it came to the texting other people, going out to get coffee. And she's like, yeah, okay, that's cool. I'm glad you told me that. But since you told me that, what else did you not tell me? How does that work?
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying, based on your logic, it's a lose-lose for guys.
It is.
And so do you just be honest, even if it hurts? Or do you just lie?
Right. Pax Banter says she's building a federal case. That's exactly what it feels like. Because it's,
it does.
It makes no sense. Michelle Baker says, I hate the fake mad Michelle. She doesn't care. Wants to look good for the cameras. That's the exact same thing. And by the way, Mike has the best advice so far. Best advice. Lie better. We said that last week, Mike. Where were you? JT says deny, deny, deny. Yes, until you can't deny anymore. And apparently that's next week. Kevin says, you notice all the men are on a different side here. Kevin's like, I'm not mad at David. There's no relationship. Which is what I said last week, and the women tried to kill us in the comments because of that, right?
Well, because he's married. I get it. But
is he though?
They've not consummated the marriage.
They barely kissed at the wedding.
She's not touched him since the wedding.
Okay.
And then when I say the wedding, the ceremony.
This, exactly.
Because after the ceremony, he said, hey, BTW, mm-hmm. I smoke.
I drink. She's like, Roy
I'm
Jones?
Supposed to stop, but I can't. I'm a dog. I love hoes. And I live in my parents' house. He told her all the things. So she's been turned off ever since then. So what do you do?
By the way, Kevin says, hold up now. I'm married. David is acting. Exactly. I'm married. David is acting. And so is Michelle. Jeez. Oh my God. Sarah, I'm sorry. I didn't watch the after party, and I'm not gonna he emotionally cheated on the after party. No, he physically cheated too. But still, is he really in a relationship? Let's be real.
No.
If your man treated you the way Michelle treats David, are you in a relationship?
No.
He is Marshawn Lynch right now. I'm just here so I don't get fined.
But I will say, I agree with Rose here. Rose says, I'm mad at him because David is smiling in Alan's face, who really likes Madison, while hooking up with his spouse. Okay. If it's true,
okay,
then yes, David is wrong for that, hardcore.
True. Devil's advocate. What is he supposed to do? Yo, Alan, come here. Let me talk to you for a minute.
Hey, man, look, let me talk to you for a second, man. Look, your girl wants to holler. Now, here's the deal. I'm not happy.
And matter of fact, last night she did.
You know that you're not happy. So look, let's just get through this together. We can stack a little paper. You know I need it. We can stack a little paper. But I'm going to go ahead and take care of this. You cool?
You see, Jay say so. Is he really wrong? Exactly. Is he really wrong?
Yeah, that's wrong.
Okay. They're not friends. We just happen to be on the same show together.
Dude, I don't even know that.
I don't even know you. You drive a Jag. I drive the bus. Do you think I care? I'm going to take something that you can't have.
Yeah.
You got something I can't have. I'm going to take something you can't have. How about that?
Now, Keeney brings up a good point. What if we're wrong about who's been cheating? What if this is another way for them to get us distracted, thinking that it's Madison and David and winds up being someone else? All that's possible. I'm still not going to change my opinion because David lied. He texted some girl. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't his cousin. So
I would love if the spin is that Michelle is the one cheating.
I don't see that.
I don't either, but I'm just saying I would love if that was a spin. Interesting here because Pastor Cal doesn't go in on Michelle the way I just did. Instead, he went in on David, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then David finally grows a pair and speaks his mind and has some things to say about what's going on, right? About the way Michelle has been treating him.
Yeah, he does. He says that he doesn't like how she's been pretty much nitpicking at him, the way he talks, mm-hmm. the way he dresses, all these different things, which is stuff that Michelle had never heard before. Mm-hmm. And I guess Pastor Cal was trying to say that y'all have these things that y'all are feeling, but you're not sharing them with each other. Doesn't matter. There's nothing here. Nothing's going to happen with these two, Pastor Cal. So why?
And interesting thing is that you got your Madison. Oh, this is the first time I heard that. No, it's not. His friends told you there's only so many times you can put a man down before he's had enough.
Yeah.
But you've seen this man be nice the entire time and think that he will. You keep going ahead and putting your finger in that dog's mouth. See what happens. At some point, it's going to bite down, right? And that's what's been happening. But Pastor Cal says, Michelle wants a resolution. Lie. And that means she hasn't closed the door completely. Another lie. And I like how David turned the tables and was like, Michelle, is that true?
Word?
And then what does Michelle do? Lie.
Yeah. Yo, I'm still in it. I'm here. You know, I've had days. It's so hard, but I'm still here. You don't care. You don't care at all.
And why are the days hard? Because of you.
Yeah.
Jesus. All right. You know, it's the thing is, she won't let the text message thing go. She keeps bringing it up. Again, when your mom know you're lying, this is what happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Cal gives some advice. What'd you think of it?
Well, Pastor Cal says, hey, let's bring Denise into the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And let's get down to the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm.
And David's like, nah.
Hey.
What's old boy from The Wire? She.
Yeah. Why not? Because why?
Yeah. He said, no, I'm not bringing her into this. He's like, well, she's already in it.
Yeah, but that's his problem. And again, this is where David doesn't do well under pressure. No. You see he's done. But he doesn't have that. At this point, well, why don't we get her on here to clear it up? For what? Pastor Cal, we touched one time, and that was when the officiant forced her to kiss me at the altar. After that, she hasn't been close to me. She doesn't even want to be anywhere near me. Why do I need to clear this up? I'm not clearing anything up for somebody who doesn't even want to be here. And that's what he should have said. But no, his dumb ass said something else.
What he should have said that was my cousin David. Your male cousins would have stuck up for you. Your female cousins are not going to write that lie. That's too big of a lie to put on a female cousin. That's a male cousin lie. He messed up.
And had he said a male cousin, it would have made more sense than eat you up. No, it should have said eat it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how we always talk to each other's food. Or something. He could have said anything.
It still sounds bad. But you get at least a male cousin would have picked up the phone. Hey, Michelle, what's up? Oh, yeah. We talk like that all the time. In our family, that's how we talk about food.
The problem is that female cousin has been cheated on before. She's like, nah. Which is the worst thing. Because I mean, we get that at the end of the episode when she finally calls her, just does that. I'm just like, what's wrong with the cousin, man? That, and obviously, it's not as tight a cousin as he thought. He probably should have thought of somebody else, right? Sly says that cousin is not to be trusted. And Kevin says, thank you, Sly. F that cousin.
Just saying. Your female cousins aren't going to lie for you like that.
No. Because, you know, you ever had any of your homeboys call up, hey, I was with you last night. Click.
Yeah.
The problem with that is women are better. Here's the thing. David thought, women are better at keeping the lie. Let me say my female cousin. He just thought that his cousin was closer than she really was. Or like Sean says, that was his fifth cousin.
Well, the guy lie is better because we would have... Men are so much better at lying.
No, they're not. Stop that. Well, that's a good lie right there.
We're creative. We're creative.
No, men are not. Women are way better.
Because that was me. I'd be like, hey... Yanni, you know, I was with you Saturday night from 10 to midnight. Click. And then Yanni would probably call me at 10:05 as I'm sitting there in front of my girl and be like, I'd have it on speakerphone. You're like, T, what's up, man? Hey, I think I might have left, you know, my keys or something in your car. Remember last night we were hanging out like around 10 to 12? I think I left my keys in your car. Can you just look, or whatever it is? And then I'd be looking at her like, told you.
No.
No, guys, would work.
No. Guys don't lie better than women. Women would have the details down that you'd have no choice but to believe it.
Facts. Right? Facts.
So that's the details could be all wrong, but they would guess enough to make it right.
Remember we went to brunch and then we had three mimosas each. You had two pineapple and one orange juice. And I stuck with the three grapefruit because I'm crazy. I like grapefruit.
Because women pay attention to what each other do, right? Yeah. The difference is...
Yeah.
The only thing you could tell anybody about if we went out, hey, so what did Yanni order? Only thing you could say is it wasn't steak and it wasn't vegetables.
Yeah, I'm like, steak. You got the steak.
But meanwhile, I told him, no, I didn't feel like steak today. I wanted chicken.
That's how I told him. Yeah, Yanni, we split that asparagus. You look me dead in the eye like, why? Why steak?
Exactly.
Oh, by my bad, you caught.
Lisa said all of this thought about the male cousin, you guys, the text started with, you so fine. If the food looks that good, who has not talked to their food like that?
I've never talked. I love food. I've never looked at food. I've never looked at crawfish like, ooh, you so fine. I can't wait to suck the heads on all of you. I've never said that to crawfish.
By the way, Sean says the lie went from sugar to shit when he said the food was exotic. And it was a dumpling. Mimi says, I love food, but it's never been fine.
Yeah, no.
And again, the same thing we said last week, it comes from Rose, who says the easier lie would have been to tell Michelle the text was for her. David isn't quick on his feet. And that's the problem, right?
But yeah.
He was a little quick when they walked out of that meeting with Pastor Cal, because they get outside, Michelle's still on that text message. I'm with David. Like, oh, now you care? Right? And Michelle, as if he doesn't care about saving his reputation, all because she's trying to save hers, right?
Mm-hmm. She just wants to prove that she's, don't embarrass her. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, you're caught. Don't make me look stupid by you continually lying to my face.
Right.
And think I'm going to believe it. I think that's where Michelle is at this point.
It's the interesting thing, because Dave is like, I got to go to work. I'm done with this conversation. He walks off and I get it, because she's so, but why? But why? But why? But why? And I was just like, get David, leave. Just leave.
I got to be to work.
Just leave. Exactly.
Look, I got to be to work.
You got another shift to pick up. But she calls Denise. Denise throws David under the bus, and then she looks so relieved. Like, yeah, I got him. Why? Why do you care?
Just to prove her point, that you're not going to embarrass me, make me look stupid. I know you're lying to me. Just tell me.
Does he owe her an explanation? Does he owe her an apology?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
I'll say it again. Yes.
No. Until she does one for him.
Does what for him?
Apologize.
For what? For the way not she's... liking the fact that he lives in his parents' basement?
She's treating him like crap since the get-go, man. Stop it. And absolutely right, Globehopper. She's relieved because now she's not the villain.
No, she's still a villain. But he's going to wind up looking worse out of all of this at the end of it. Him and, if it is Madison, mm-hmm. him and Madison are going to look really bad at the end of this.
Yeah. Absolutely true. Michelle doesn't care. She just wants the truth. And thank you, Crafting Virgo. No. Okay, Tracy. Jeez. I knew somebody thank you would say too. He owes her an apology for lying. And J-Ro says no. She's still a villain. Damn right. Oh, man. Look. This should be an interesting episode next week because we get to the bottom of some of it. He yep. finally admits it, which we knew. We all know. The minute he told that lie, we're like, brother. So we'll get to that next week. But before that, because also coming out next Friday is Ready to Love Philadelphia, right?
Mm-hmm.
And before that, we're going to have our next random conversations with, from Ready to Love, seasons 3 and 4, Mr. KG Smooth, Chris from seasons 3 and 4. Right here in H-Town. So
another Chris. Chris's don't do well on reality shows, apparently. Just saying.
Well, his is spelled with a K. Might be a little different. Yeah. But, and that other Chris was from Married at First Sight. So Chris's don't do well on Married at First Sight.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, Ready to Love is different. So we'll do a... by the way, Sandy asked... How many more episodes are left? 35.
I wish I knew. Jesus.
We did 24 of these last year. Was it 24? Almost 20. Yeah, because it wasn't quite 26. It wasn't quite half a year. It just took half a year. So.
Yeah.
I think we're in 13. We got 11 more to go.
Yeah. Because
you know they're going to have 2 episodes for the reunion. So. All right. So. Monday, random conversations. 8/7 Central with Chris, a.k.a. KG Smooth. And then, of course, back here next Wednesday, Married at First Sight, episode 14. Let's get to the nitty-gritty, the dirt, and all that good stuff. Do us a favor. Please hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications.
Yep.
And I did see some of those comments about that. We're gonna get that merch shop up for y'all. Trust me, that's coming real soon.
Little teaser.
Hey, I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Root, at Just Terrell, and at the RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts, some of the bullshit on the internet. We'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast.
Cheers.